And we are joined on the line now by the Catholic Primate of All Ireland, Archbishop Eamon Martin. Archbishop Martin, thank you for being with us and welcome to the programme.
Thank you.
You'll have heard Anne O'Gorman there. And when you hear stories like that about babies being taken away in a fruit box with no proper burial and terrible conditions, do you ask yourself what kind of an organisation would allow its members to drive such a cruel and harmful and miserable regime against vulnerable women and children?
I do indeed, Justin, and I think that this week especially, I think a lot of people in Ireland, including myself and a lot of people in the church, are feeling a very deep sadness in our hearts, really, to think of these very harrowing stories. And it's amazing the testimonies of so many courageous and good people who have come forward really to open up this very dark story for us. And I think we're shamed really by to realize and to think of the number of vulnerable women and their unborn children and then their infants who were stigmatized and shamed and excluded from their homes and their families and ostracized really from their parishes and their communities. Essentially, they were banished by society and with all of their rights largely ignored by everyone.
You heard Anne there talking about what went on in Bessborough, and the Commission itself in its report said that it finds it difficult to understand how no member of the order that ran that home could assist in locating the burial places. I mean, do you find it credible that hundreds of children were buried there and nobody knows a thing?
I think we're dealing with people whose society didn't care about and whom society forgotten. And I do know that the sisters themselves have said that they commissioned researchers and historians over the last number of years to try to locate for definite with evidence where people were buried. And that I would join with the cry really of the commission for anyone, you know, who knows anything about the burial of these dear children to come forward so that their graves can be identified and appropriately marked and that the families, you know, can be recognised and not forgotten.
I know that you're not the head of these orders and that they have their own autonomy and you don't run them. But as one survivor, Samantha Long, said during the week, apologies are not enough here. What's needed now is tangible things that many survivors are now in poverty. And, you know, she has an expectation and others have an expectation that religious orders should now contribute towards a fund to help those people. Do you have that same expectation? Will religious orders contribute to a redress fund?
I think that, yes, we can expect that everybody, all of the people who were involved in this, you know, at any stage or at any part of it should be demonstrating, I suppose, the sincerity of the apologies. And I do think the apologies have been important, and many of the survivors have said that they really appreciated the apologies, because for a long time they were basically the ones that were made feel ashamed and guilty. Now it's for the rest of us, you know, the church and the community, the families and the absent fathers, the county councils, the state, the religious sisters, anybody in any way who was involved in the management or the delivery of services, you know, I think they do have a shared, you know, moral and obligation
action. Is there not a specific obligation on, a moral obligation on the religious orders who ran those homes to provide some redress now? Because we know in the past, and you heard Alva explaining it in her piece earlier, that church organisations have paid just 16% of the compensation to abuse survivors in the past. So should there be a more proportionate response from the religious orders on this occasion?
I think that we can show, you know, that our apologies are sincere by being willing to contribute in any way that we can. And I do believe, I mean, many of the religious sisters have already said that they are open to this. Just on Friday, I received a letter from Minister O'Gorman, which I think he has sent to the religious congregations. And in that, he's basically asking that the church would make a significant and practical contribution by way of apology or making a contribution towards the financial costs of whatever restorative schemes and other measures were put in place, and also to try to ensure that, you know, the relevant records are being, you know, made available to residents and families. And I do think that the religious congregations will be willing to play their part in that generously.
Archbishop, do they have assets that they can sell? Do they have the financial means now to make that substantial contribution that's being called for?
I think that that's something that the minister and whatever scheme is put in place for redress will be able to establish. But could I just say one thing? I would be disappointed if, you know, we were having read the commission's report to scapegoat, I think, the religious congregations. You know, I think they were commissioned by the state and by local authorities and county councils. They were expected to intervene when the rest of society had basically banished these mothers and their unborn children and infants. And they too were Irish women who answered a call to serve, and they found themselves kind of on the front line of this.
But they were also, though, the drivers of a very harsh and a very cruel regime against very vulnerable women and innocent children.
Yeah, I think that there is clear evidence that the day-to-day running of the institutions, which some of the sisters were involved in, you know, was very harsh. And I do think it's important, though, that they were subject to monitoring and inspection and oversight by the state. And, you know, they too were basically hidden from society. And as soon as women and children went into these places, society didn't seem to want to know anymore, be they living or dead. So I think that, yes, if it's just, if it's proportionate, and if it's in account of the findings of the commission, I do feel the church needs to do reparation for this. I do accept that.
Yes, but you would have heard Archbishop that Alva say there in the piece that in the past, not all of the promises were kept. I think there's 197 million euros in what was promised by religious orders back in 2009 that hasn't been paid to date. So is it important, do you think, that any decisions that are made now around redress should have a legal standing, should be legally enforceable, because we know that those promises have not been kept?
Yeah, well, first of all, I wouldn't be privy to the actual agreements and voluntary donations that were being made by, of land and property that were being made by the religious sisters and other congregations. You know, and I think that that is something that the Public Accounts Committee could look at. It's interesting, like last year, I understood that the Secretary General of the Department of Education, it was in the media at the time, said that significant milestones had been reached and that only a very small number of properties remained to be transferred. So I'm not sure what the precise story there is. But I do think that the congregations and indeed all of those who were involved in any way in this awful story, an appalling story, I think there is a moral obligation on us and to participate in whatever way one can to help them, the survivors who okay. for so long have carried this by themselves.
I just want to ask you finally, you mentioned the diocesan records there, and the commission has asked that those diocesan records should be made public so that people can find out more information about their past. Mm-hmm. Is that something that you will commit to doing now, to making those records
yeah.
public?
Yeah, I think that, you know, for many years now, I remember when this commission began its work, at the time the Bishops' Conference said that they would ask that, you know, the adoption and the tracing bill would be accelerated. Now, that's 5 years ago, so that anyone who holds any information that can help these former residents and their families find out a bit more and find some healing and peace. And I think that, yes, of course, I think that all of those who have any information would like to be able to help in whatever way we can to bring some kind of healing to the people who have suffered so much.
All right. Archbishop Eamon Martin, Catholic Primate of All Ireland, thank you very much indeed for taking our call today.